comparable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. This should sound fairly familiar to some of you that were here, I think, last Sunday morning in Sunday school. Miss Tanya read this passage of Scripture. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? And he spake this parable unto a certain which trusted in themselves, that they which were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And this publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote himself on the breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. You can be seated. Thank you for standing with us while we read the word of the Lord. I want to preach, as I said a while ago this morning, I want to preach on how we should pray. How we should pray. Now notice the question is not even if we should pray or whether we should pray, but rather how we should pray. I'm going to take the point of view that it is a given that we should pray, that it is a given that we ought to pray, that men ought always, the Scripture did say, that men ought always to pray and not to faint in the first verse we read. Now, prayer is probably the most important and maybe the most precious tool that the saint of God has. It is a direct access line whereby we may speak to God. That's what prayer is. Prayer is when man is able, my friend, within his own spirit and his own soul to commune with the God of the glory world. Prayer is precious because it's available at all times. Though you may not be able to get in touch with the President of the United States at all, you might try for years and never get a response. My friend, you can go well above his head in the middle of the night, and God is ready to hear and to answer prayer. How about that? What about that? And that one fella said, it is all right when you're troubled in the middle of the night to talk to the Lord, because he was staying up anyway. Amen? And I'm thankful for that. The Lord hears and answers prayers. Now, the first time prayer is mentioned in the Bible is in Genesis chapter 4 and verse 26. It was after the death of Cain, or rather of Abel, after the murder had taken place. It was after another child had been born unto Adam and Eve to replace Cain, whom Abel had slew. It was after they had spent many years, many generations, void of the presence of God. And then the Bible says men began to call upon the name of the Lord. You know the real reason why people pray? Because they're hungry to talk to God. They have a longing in their heart to commune with God. The reason why men call upon the Lord is because they've got that yearning from down deep within to call upon God and to speak with and have communion with the Lord. Do you know that same yearning you have whenever you pray to talk to God? God's had that same yearning to talk to you for a very long time. And it's so important to Him that He was willing to send His own Son to die on the cross that we might have that privilege of prayer. I mean, it's first mentioned in Genesis 4 and 26. It's so important that the Bible said, Jesus told him in John chapter 2 as he was quoting the book of Isaiah, that my house shall be called a house of prayer. It's so important that this very place where we've met to worship God is to be called a house of prayer. He could have called it a house of praise. He could have called it a house of preaching. He could have called it a house of worship. But he called it a house of prayer. My friend, little will we do this morning that'll be more important than praying. I mean, my friend, getting in touch with God is more important important than singing. It's more important than Sunday school. It's more important than sermons. It's more important than taking up the offering. I'm telling you, friend, prayer is the most important thing. When my heart and your heart communes together with the heart of God, preaching moves people. My friend, singing moves people. But prayer moves God. And prayer, my friend, is as big as God is. Prayer is as strong as God is strong. Prayer can reach just as far as God can reach. So don't ever give up. Just pray. Just pray. Thank God. And he said, my house is to be called a house of prayer. Prayer is so important that the disciples asked Jesus to teach them to pray. In Luke chapter 11, they said, Lord, teach us to pray. As John taught us, taught his disciples. And you know how he began? He said, when you pray, pray like this. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thou art the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. We call it the Lord's Prayer, but he was a praying for forgiveness, and the Lord didn't need forgiveness. That ain't the Lord's Prayer. That's our prayer. Amen. He was teaching us to pray. He was teaching us how to commune with the Lord. I'm telling you, friend, prayer is important enough that the disciples asked Jesus to teach them to pray. Matter of fact, one of the favorite sermons I've ever preached about prayer is from that chapter in Luke chapter 11. Oh, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. It was so important to these disciples that the Lord teach them to pray. A prayer, my friend, what is prayer? Prayer is the sincere desire of the heart. According to Psalms 21 and 2, the prayers of the saints are precious. According to Revelation 5 and 8, a matter of fact, prayer is so important and so precious, my friend, so highly honored that Jesus even prayed. And before the my friend, the garden tomb of Lazarus, he sat bowed in the presence of all the people, and he prayed and he said, Lord, I thank thee that thou hearest me when I pray, and that thou always hear me. But said, I said this that those around might know. In other words, I'm praying in public so everybody will know that God hears and answers prayers. Isaiah 59 and 1 said that the Lord's hand was not shortened that he could not save, neither was his ear heavy that he could not hear. Prayer's mighty important. It's so important that Jesus prayed in public. It is important enough that he prayed in private. Amen. He told the disciples in Matthew 26, sit you here while I go yonder. And he went off by himself, the Bible says. And there he began to pray and call on his Father. He prayed all by himself. I want to tell you something else. It's important enough that Jesus made a prayer request. He said, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Watch ye here and pray with me. My friend, he is asking the disciples to pray for him. I'm going to tell you, there's a principle here. The scripture says that we are to bear one another's burdens. Amen. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Pray with and for one another, the scripture says. That's exactly right. It's my responsibility and yours to pray for each other. Prayer is mighty important, and we'll never overestimate the value of prayer. You'll never overestimate the value of prayer. That's an impossibility. More has been wrought by prayer than by any other means. There can be no great revival, no great soul winning campaign, no mighty moving of God without prayer. Prayerlessness, in fact, is a crying out loud sin against God. Prayerlessness is. Amen. Luke 12 and 32 says that it's the Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. Amen. He longs for us to pray. He desires
desires for us to pray. It is His will for us to pray. He knows our needs before we pray. Yet He still yearns for us to call on Him in prayer. Amen. God don't need for us to pray so He'll know what our situation is and know what our problems are and know how to help us. But like a parent longs for that fellowship and conversation with his children, so also does our Heavenly Father yearn for that communion between the heart of man and the heart of God. And that's what prayer is all about. Amen. Why are we not receiving power from God? My friend, why are we not enjoying revival? Why do we spend, my friend, so many days struggling to make it through in life? It's very simply put, we're not praying. Amen. Great things happen when people pray. Amen. God still answers prayer. That's exactly right. The biggest reason why the church in the modern age is cold, homes are divided and defeated, and lives are indifferent to the commands of God, is because Christians have stopped praying. The disciples saw the importance of prayer and asked Jesus to teach them to pray. They heard the prayer the prophets prayed. They saw John the Baptist prayed. And they even heard the voice of our Lord as He prayed dead men from their graves. They knew power was in prayer. I want to tell you something, friend. In my life and yours, we need to once again become in touch with the power of God that is let loose or unleashed, if you will, when God's people pray.
I want to tell you how important prayer is. You can't get saved without prayer. Amen. That's how a man gets saved, isn't it? I mean, if they that call upon the Lord, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That is what prayer is, isn't it? Calling on God, calling on the name of the Lord. You'll not be saved without prayer. Amen. You'll not be spirit-filled without prayer either. You'll not be separated without prayer. You'll not be saturated with the Scriptures without prayer. And my friend, you'll not be in the service of the Lord without prayer. Prayer is mighty important. We will never be able to overestimate the power and importance of prayer. Luke chapter number 18, where we read this morning, I want to show you a few things concerning how we should pray. Now, I can preach ad lib. I'm basically ad lib here now for about 20 minutes. I can preach ad lib on the prayer for the rest of the day and never really touch the surface. We could focus on this chapter and preach about prayer from this chapter and never really scratch the surface. I was at the bookstore the other night, and absolutely there was 12 shelves slam full of books about prayer. I mean prayer of all times. About how to pray, when to pray, what to pray, what position to pray in. All those kind of things. And I'm going to tell you something else. Out of all them 12 shelves full of books, they've not scratched the surface. When we go to talking about prayer, and Brother Milby had it right, the very most important thing to know about prayer is to pray. To do it. Amen. Oh, Luke 18 teaches us how we should pray. I want to give you three things from this chapter and we'll be finished this morning. First of all, we are to pray constantly. Pray constantly. In chapter 18 in verse 1, He spake a parable to them unto this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. To pray constantly, constantly, constantly. I'm telling you, prayer is not something you need to do now and again. It's something you need to do all the time. You need to do every day. Amen. I mean, you ought to pray, my friend, every day. You ought to pray. That's Psalms chapter 5 and verse 3 tells us that we ought to pray in the morning. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and that we'll look up. Does that mean we shouldn't pray in the evening? Oh, no. Luke chapter 6 and verse 12 says, and it came to pass in those days that Jesus went into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And so we ought to pray in the morning. We ought to pray in the evening. Psalms 55:17 says, evening and morning and at noon will I pray. Well, we ought to pray in the morning. We ought to pray in the evening. And we ought to pray at noontime. Amen. Evening, morning, and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and He shall hear my voice. Three times a day, old Daniel prayed. According to Daniel
6:10. Even in Babylonian captivity, he prayed 3 times a day. You may feel like, my friend, and you're right, that we're in a very wicked world and a very evil society. A trouble on every hand. A struggles on every hand. Problems on every hand. But may I say, friend, that we have an outlet for help. We have a place for relief. We have a place to find strength at the feet of the Lord in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. I mean, pray constantly.
Pray constantly. Pray in the morning, pray in the evening, pray in the noontime. Pray 3 times a day. Have 5. Pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 said, pray without ceasing. Ephesians 6:18 said, praying always with all prayer, matter of prayer and supplication. And the God, amen. I mean, pray all the time. Somebody said, preacher, I can't pray all the time. If I was, I'd have to stay at the church all the time, in the altar all the time. Listen, hey. This ain't the only place you can pray. Now, this is a good place to pray. This is a good place to pray. And I thank God for the altar. But this ain't the only place to pray. If it was, I don't know what folks would have done before we built the church here. If this was the only place you could pray. Amen. That's right. One fella said, listen, I've been telling this story a long time. I'm going to tell it again this morning. One fella said that you had to pray. If you was going to pray, you had to stand and look up into heaven and speak to Jesus as a father and a son would talk. For he is our father and we're his children. And I suppose that's true. Another man said you had to get on your knees or on your face before the Lord and humble yourself and call on God, for God's high and holy and we're meek and lowly. And that's true too. That's true too. One old boy said, I don't know all about them two positions of prayer, but the very best praying I ever did was when I was working for Georgia Power and I was hanging upside down for my foot from the top of a telephone pole. He said, then I got a prayer through. I want to tell you, sometimes it's not a matter of the position that you're in or the place where you are, but it's the earnest of your heart. It's the sincerity of the heart. It's when you mean business down in the heart. Prayer's not bent knees or my fancy swelling words, but prayer's when the heart of man communes with the heart of God. There's no limit of place or position, my friend, of prestige or vocabulary to prayer. Matter of fact, some of the very best prayers you'll ever pray is when you can't say anything except for grab hold of the foot of God and say, oh God, and he knows the rest, and he knows how to take care of it, and he knows how to meet your need. It's not what you prayed, it's not where you prayed, it's not what you said, it's the condition of your heart. He knew your needs before you ever prayed. And when you called on God with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, he saw you and heard your prayer.
Amen.
Amen. Little girl bowed down, calling out her ABCs. An old man comes by and says, honey, what in the world are you doing? She said, I'm a praying. He said, sound like to me, you're just sounding out the alphabet. She said, well, I've been thinking that I really don't know the things that I ought to be asking for, and I guess the Lord does, so I've just given him all the letters and letting him put it together like it needs to. Amen. I'm telling you, friend, he knows how. The Spirit, the Bible said, does say in the book of Romans chapter number 8, that the Spirit intercedes for us when we know not how to pray as we ought, that the Spirit intercedes for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. When we don't know the words to say, we don't know what to ask for, we don't know how to pray, that's beyond our understanding, out of our hands, bigger than what we can imagine. When we call on God, he's wise. His answers are wiser than our prayers. He knows how to hear and answer in just the right way. Pray constantly. God hears and answers prayers.
Amen.
Bless his high and holy name. Bless his high and holy name. Oh, I'm thankful I can pray. I'm thankful I can pray. Well, pray constantly. Secondly, this morning, I want to tell you the scripture teaches us from this chapter to pray fervently. Pray fervently, fervently, fervently. Now listen to what it said in chapter number 18, verses 2 through 8. There's the story about this little woman, this widow woman that comes unto the man who is a judge, which regards neither
fears not God nor regards man. And that when a woman says, come and avenge me of mine adversary, and he didn't do anything, but she kept on and on and on, constantly praying, fervently praying and fervently asking. And this judge said, I don't do this because a woman like her want to help her, but I want to do this to get her off my back. In so many words. And he said, I'll do it because I'll avenge her, lest her continual coming she weary me. And Jesus said, hear what the unjust judge saith, and shall not God avenge his own elect? If they'll be consistent, if they'll be constant, if they'll be fervent. And my friend, even the world will hear an answer request like that. If your Father in heaven loves you and sees every sparrow that falls from the sky, and my friend looks after the lilies of the field and feeds all the birds, turns the sun and moon off in a day and night, and Lord, he surely looked after you and meets your needs and hear your prayers. Hallelujah! God's looking after his young us and meeting our needs, my friend, on a daily basis. Pray fervently, fervently. I want to tell you, this woman prayed fervently. In James 5 and 16 said, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Much is accomplished. A lot is done because of fervent prayers. I want to say, you ought to pray fervently for your family. This woman had an enemy that surely had mistreated her. Avenge me of my adversaries, she said. Surely this man had tortured her, had bothered her and her family, and done them all wrong. And she's concerned, my friend. In verse number 3, she's concerned about her family. She's concerned about her children. She's concerned about their welfare. I want to tell you, friend, there are enemies of your family today as well. And you better pray fervently for God to do something in your family. I'm telling you, Hollywood and my friend, rock and roll, hey, and perversion and the lewd people of all sorts are after your children. We better pray fervently. We better pray earnestly for our families and for our children. Amen. Amen. That's right. Oh, God, have mercy on us, friend. We ought to pray fervently for our family. I mean, our children lost and dying and needing help from the Lord, and you can't save them, and I can't either. It'll take the Lord to keep their souls out of hell. And we better pray fervently for our families. That's exactly right. We better pray fervently for our families. We ought to pray fervently for our future. Verse number 5 says, yet because this widow troubleth me, I'll avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. The judge could readily see that this woman was burdened over what the days ahead held for her. She kept looking around and seeing what would happen if this trend continues, if this enemy continues to torture us. It's only going to get worse and worse and worse and worse. And the future holds some nasty things if we don't get things worked out. If some or another, somebody doesn't intervene, things are going to get worse and worse. And I don't know what the future holds if somebody doesn't make a difference. I want to tell you, that's where we all are today, friend. If God don't step in, if somebody don't make a difference in my life and yours and our family and yours, then I don't know what the future holds. But I'm so glad we've got access to the throne room of God. We can find help in Jesus. And my friend, for the future, it may not look bright for this old world, but for the people of God, the future's in the hand of the Lord, and he can take care of it if we'll trust in Jesus. Amen. We ought to pray fervently for the future. She was not about to stop praying until something happened. I want to ask you, have you prayed about your future? Have you sought God's will for your life? Have you prayed about your occupation? About the place where you're going to live? You young people, have you prayed about a mate who you're going to marry? Amen? My friend, the schooling or the learning that you're going to have somewhere or another in life, what you're going to do with the rest of your life. You didn't pray about those kind of things. Pray about the future. Pray fervently for your family. Pray fervently for your future. I want to say pray fervently for your forgiveness. Verse number 7 says. Verse number 7. And shall not God avenge His own elect which cry day and night unto Him, though He bear long with them? Notice He said, shall He not avenge His own elect? Verse 7 lets us know that God will hear the prayers of the elect. That's the saved, in other words. Let me just break that down real simple for you. That's people that knows God is what they do. There ain't no such thing as an elect sinner, by the way. Our extreme Calvinist friends might disagree with that. But my friend, there ain't no such thing as an elect sinner. I mean, election, my friend, is for the saved. It's not for the lost. It's like that fella out there fishing. And my friend, he ain't fishing for elect fish. He's just fixing for whatever bite the hook. Amen. That's right. And he cast out the line and he looks for anything to bite the hook. But then whenever it bites the hook and he starts reeling it in, it ain't a leg yet. But if he never get that thing in the boat and put on a stringer, then it's a leg and you know where it's headed, right to the frying pan. Amen. And that's the way it is when a fella gets saved. By God's grace, he ain't a leg while he's out there in the world and lost. But when the Lord saves him, puts him in the family of God, and seals his destiny, then he's elect. Amen. And we know where he's going, thank God. Oh, that's exactly right. And so when he says that he'll hear the prayer of the elect, in other words, God hears it when saved people pray.
Amen.
Now, if that's the case, and you're not born again, you've never been met the Lord, you've never been saved, then somehow or another you're going to have to get there. And I done told you prayer was the only way to get there. What's your best advice? Preacher, my best advice is for you to pray fervently for forgiveness. Because when the Lord forgives sins, He'll put you in His family and you can enjoy the answer to all your prayers. But until then, the only one He's listening for is that one that says, God, have mercy on me, a sinner, which is what we're fixing to preach on. Amen. I mean, pray fervently for forgiveness. If you never met the Lord, if your sins are still hanging over you with that weight of guilt because you know that you hadn't done right and you're not right in the sight of God, what you got to do is ask God to forgive you of your sins and come in your heart and wipe that all away, cleanse you, and make you right in the sight of the Lord. It's the elect of God that He hears all those prayers from. The rest of the folks, I would give them the advice to pray fervently for forgiveness. 2 Peter 1 and 10 tells us to make our calling and election sure. Men need to pray fervently about their forgiveness and make sure that they're saved. And this leads us to our last point in the last few verses this morning from Luke chapter 18. We talked about praying constantly, fervently. But in Luke 18 verses 9 through 14, we learn we ought to pray humbly. Humbly. Pray humbly, or pray with humility, if you will. In these last verses, pray with humility. The Bible does tell us here about two men that went up to pray, the Pharisee and the publican. The Pharisee spent all his time talking to God and bragging on himself and telling the Lord how good he was, how great he was, how many good things he had done. But the publican wouldn't even lift his eyes toward heaven, smote himself in the breast and said, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. And he went home justified. Pray humbly, pray humbly. First of all, this man, this publican, prayed humbly because he was ashamed of his sins. And verse number 13 says, that a publican standing afar off, he stood up, and where this Pharisee went right in the middle of the crowd and stood up in the middle of everybody, this publican in verse 13, he stood afar off. He was ashamed to get in the midst of the bunch. He was ashamed of what he was and who he was. And the Bible said he wouldn't even lift up his eyes. He would not as much as lift up his eyes unto heaven. I'm telling you, as long as you flaunt your sins and you're not ashamed, you can't pray with humility and you will not get answers from God. And when you get ashamed of sin and the things you've done and the way you've lived and approach the Lord with humility, my friend, with humbleness of spirit, then God will listen to your prayer and lend ear unto your voice. When you get humble before the Lord, Jeremiah 6 and 15 said, were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed. Neither could they blush. Therefore, because of that, they shall fall among them that fall. At that time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. But chapter 1 of Isaiah, where Brother John taught in Sunday school this morning, verse 15, and when you spread forth your hands, I'll hide my eyes from you. You began to get down and say, oh God, oh God. But there ain't nothing in your heart that's the same to your sins. He says, I'll hide mine eyes from you. When you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. I quoted earlier that blessed scripture from Isaiah 59:1, that the Lord's hand's not short that he cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that he cannot hear. But verse 2 said, but your sins have separated you and your God. The reason your prayers are not being answered is not because God can't, it's because he won't until you address your sins. Amen. That's why he told him in Isaiah chapter 1, I believe it is in verse 18, wash and make you clean. I mean, get things out of your life. James said, purify your hands, you sinners. I cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. That's exactly right, friend. Until we address this issue of sin, God is not going to hear our prayers. Amen. I don't mean you're going to have to become some righteous person. You're going to have to do everything good to earn the right of the Lord hearing your prayer. I mean, I'm talking about you have to be ashamed of your sin, confess your sin, ask for forgiveness of your sins, or the Lord's not going to hear your prayer. And if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me, is what the book of Psalms said. I'm telling you, you can't just live any old way and expect God to honor your prayer life and live in opposition and rebellion against the Lord and expect God to honor your prayer life. You got to be ashamed of your sins, ashamed of your sins. That's where this man was. Now, did not the Bible say this man went home justified? This man went home clean? This man went home forgiven? If he did, we need to find out what he did and get in on it. He was ashamed of what he did. He was ashamed of who he was. Brother, when we get ashamed of sin, then we can get a hold of God. He prayed humbly because he was ashamed of his sins. He prayed humbly because he agonized over his sins. Verse 13 said that he would not even lift up his eyes to heaven. And then it said, but he smote himself on the breast. He smote himself on the breast. Oh my Lord. This is a sign of emotion. That means and tells us he was torn. This is a broken heart and a contrite spirit. This is a man whose heart is heavy. His soul is heavy. He's sick of the way that he's been living. And he smote himself in the breast. He said, oh God, oh, I'm so ashamed of what I am, what I've been and where I've done. And he's agonizing over his sin. He struggled with his unworthy life. It was just about more than what he could stand. And friend, when you get there, that's when God can bring about a work in your life. Agonizing over his sin. And then, when he got to this place, he began to say, and listen, if it's God have mercy on me, a sinner, and you're not in this place, you won't get nowhere. But when you get broken, ashamed of your sins, agonizing with God, then you can ask for forgiveness. And he says, God, he's speaking now from a broken heart. He's speaking now from a desperate situation. I'm in a mess and I cannot help myself. Oh God, have mercy on me, I'm a sinner. Have mercy on me, a sinner. I'm a nobody. I'm not even fit to be in this place. I shouldn't even lift my eyes up to heaven. I'm ashamed of everything I've been, what I've done, what I've been into. But God, all I know to do now is throw myself on your mercy, beg for your forgiveness, ask you to do something in my life. Oh God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Brother, when you get there, the Lord will save you in a great and a mighty way. He's able to save unto the uttermost those who come unto God by Him. That's right. Lord, have mercy on me. Oh, God, I'm ashamed. Have mercy on me. And you know what the Lord did? He had mercy on him. And the Bible said he went home justified. Not because he'd been so good. Not because he'd accomplished so much. Hey, he still had been a publican. All them things he once had done, he'd still done them. They didn't just go away as if they never happened. But in the eyes of God, the Lord said, I've moved them all from me. I have forgotten all about them, chose never to remember them anymore. Those are forgiven, forgotten, and forever gone. And you can go home just if you'd never justified, never sinned. Amen. You can go home cleansed and pure and right, not because you've been so good and not because you've earned it, but because I've had mercy on you, a sinner. And if you've ever been saved by God's grace, that's how you got it. You got ashamed of your sin, agonized over your sin, and asked for forgiveness of the only one who can help you, which is Jesus. Amen. And then you'd be saved. And then the Lord hears the prayers of the elect. Praying don't stop when you get saved. That's just the beginning. And from that point forward, you've got one on which you can cast all your burdens and all your cares, for He cares for you. Matter of fact, if you don't, you sure have forfeited and given up on a lot of peace and joy that you could have had if you just kneel down and call on God, because He wants to hear. You know what the Bible said in Psalm 62:8, I believe it is? Pour out your heart unto Him. Just pour out your heart. I mean, show Him the very innermost secrets of your soul. Give them to Him. Pour them out before Him. Say, God, this is what I am. I'm not hiding nothing. All I know is I need help from You, because I cannot make it by myself. When you get there, you can get help. And God will bless you in ways that you would have never imagined possible before you came to know Him. How we should pray. I'm closing, if you'd come with a song, please. How we should pray. He acknowledged his sin. Though the Lord forgave my sin and saved my soul many years ago, I find myself still approaching Him, knowing how unworthy I am every day, and seeking mercy, oh my never dying soul. I want to say this morning, I'm glad that I can pray. I'm glad I can pray. You may not be able to do some things, but the Lord has given an avenue for us all to be able to pray. There's no possible way that we really understand or appreciate what a privilege it is, but we can pray. When we can do nothing more and do nothing else, we can still pray. Matter of fact, you can't do anything more than pray until first you've prayed, because you cannot exceed the power of prayer in yourself. Somebody said, all I know to do for you is pray. Well, I can't think of anything better than that. I mean, pray, friend, pray. For prayer is as big as God is. Matter of fact, I'd say with the songwriter, oh, what a peace we often forfeit, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. He's a precious friend, and He's ready to hear you if you'd call on Him. Would you stand to your feet, please, if you need to come this morning? I wish you'd make your place of prayer here today and call on God. If you need to be saved, I wish you'd come. You got issues in your life, sins you need to confess, I wish you'd come. If you got problems you're struggling with that's bigger than what you are, I wish you'd come. You want to get in earnest about your adversary, the devil, that roams about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, because your family, your future, your forgiveness, you want to get earnest about it. You want to get serious with God about it. You're ashamed of your sins and need a change of life. I wish you'd come. Whatever it is you're dealing with, I wish you'd come this morning. Do business with God. Sister Tanya sang for us. You need to come this morning. I wish you'd pray.
Somewhere somebody is praying tonight for loved ones who've wandered away from the light. Faith reaches heaven, and God is aware, and forever is changed in a moment of prayer. Oh, there's power in prayer, power to spare. All that we need is waiting right there. A few words, a child's faith, then it's goodbye despair. Oh, there's power, so much power, there's power in prayer. a bent, broken body is struggling in pain. The doctors have tried, but all hope is in vain. But wait, someone's praying in the midst of the gloom. And all at once, the great physician steps into the room. Oh, there's power in prayer, power to spare. All that we need is waiting right there. A few words, a child's faith, then it's goodbye despair. Oh, there's power, so much power, there's power in prayer. A bent, broken body is suffering with pain. The doctors have tried, but all hope is in vain. But wait, someone's praying in the midst of the gloom. And all at once, the great physician steps into the room. Oh, there's power in prayer, power to spare. All that we need is waiting right there. A few words, a child's faith, then it's goodbye despair. Oh, there's power, so much power, there's power in prayer.
Magazine ran an article.
That's right.
Amen. Some of the rockiest folks you've ever seen. I've seen them at the Lord, got a hold of them in all kinds of different ways. And I believe if I did feel like that, didn't feel that way about the Father, which I don't, if it did, I believe I'd make sure that I got over to see him a while. They gonna tell him what the Lord can do for him if you look. Tell him how much the Lord loves him. Bow your heads with us if we will. Let's ask the Lord's blessings on us as we part, that we might be a witness for him, do all the things that be pleasing to his name. Be a blessing to others. Brother John, bless you, Lord.
Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you, God, for this precious day, God, for this good service you bless us with. God, we thank you for the man of God and the word of God that you preach this morning, God, and that's heaven our hearts. God, I want to confess my need of you this morning, God, and ask you to help us.
What got a hold of it that time, wasn't it? We said grace at the table, had family prayer at night. Then Mama would read from her Bible to teach all her children right. The way that she raised us, well, that's the way that she raised us. Well, that's my whole life through. Oh, how I loved it then. Sunday evening church, and I believe the Bible is God's holy words. Damn, when this world don't
understand. What are y'all doing now? You going back to the house?
Probably.
Okay, well, I'm going to go back and get the Vacation Bible School stuff out.
Okay.
Well, I've got it all loaded up. Let's run.
Probably so. of my own, and I pray the Lord will help me to teach them how to shun the wrong. Kneeling by their bedsides is how they learn to stand. Such a simple childhood truth I still do. I still pray after midnight, go to Sunday evening church, and I believe the Bible is God's holy word. So when this world don't understand me, I don't expect them to, 'cause everything I first believe, I still do. 'Cause everything I first believe, I still do.
Two black eyes. It's right before the two black eyes. Right.
She usually gets it when she's sitting like right in the middle of it.
Yep. Look, and here's your smile. Here's your two black eyes, and there's your smile. Two black eyes and a smile.
Can you do the smile?
Let me show you. Slide over here. If you're going to do the smile, you put, nope, wait, loosen your fingers up now. You got to do what I tell you to do. Okay? Put your thumb on the middle C. This one goes on the E. And this and this goes on the G. There's your smile. See if we can push them together. Whoops. We got more than one here. There we go. There's your smile. See, look. Watch, Tauntaun. So you got C, B, G, and there's your smile. Two black eyes and a smile.
Yeah, we got a.
Yeah.
There you go. You got two of them down, don't you?
There you go. Yep. It'll get better.
You ready to go rottenness? Huh? What are we going to sing? Sing Wet Your Feet in the Water, or Step Into the Water.
Step Into the Water.
She can't sing most of her songs unless she's directing like you were.
Oh, okay. I bet you would be a very good, people with sensory are usually really good directors. Yep.
Because they're very good leaders. They
right.
Have to be in control.
Right, they do.